As you can see, it's not Satchinandana Swami. As you can see on the board. So we will try to speak something for the pleasure of all of you, for the pleasure of Shri Radha Gopinath, and for my personal purification. This verse is not in some particular meter, so we will just read it like this. Kvachita sadya griham davavat priyarta viduram asukkadarakam shokagni nadahyamano brisham nirvedam upagachati. Kvachit, sometimes. Asadya, experiencing. Griham, the home life. Davavat, exactly like a blazing fire in the forest. Priya Artha Vidhuram, without any beneficial object. Asuka Udarakam, resulting only in more and more unhappiness. Shoka Agnina, by the fire of lamentation. Dahyamana, being buried. Brisham, very great. Nirvedam, disappointment. Pagachati, he obtains. Translation, sorry for this, I have a problem with the truth. In this world, family life is exactly like a blazing fire in the forest. There is not the least happiness, and gradually one becomes more and more implicated in unhappiness. In household life, there is nothing favorable for perpetual happiness. Being implicated in home life, the conditioned soul is buried by the fire of lamentation. Sometimes he condemns himself as being very unfortunate. And sometimes he claims that he suffers because he performed no pious activities in his previous life. Purport. In the Gurashtaka, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has sung, Samsara Dhavana Lalita Loka Chanaya Karunya Ganaganatvam. A life in this material world is exactly like a blazing forest fire. No one goes to set fire to the forest, yet the fire takes place. Similarly, everyone wants to be happy in this material world, but the miserable conditions of material life simply increase. Sometimes a person caught in the blazing fire of material existence. Do you hear something? Some side noise? Maybe it's just here, sorry. Sometimes a person caught in the blazing fire of material existence condemns himself, but due to his bodily conception he cannot get out of the entanglement, and thus he suffers more and more. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gnanjana Shalaka Chakshurimuntam Vena Tasmai Shri Guru Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Guru Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Vancha Kalpatrubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyaya Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So, just let me introduce myself, because most of you are seeing me for the first time, my name is Sharanga Thakur Das, and we'll just try to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam for the pleasure of all of you. So I will read the text again. In this world, family life is exactly like a blazing fire in the forest. There is not the least happiness, and gradually one becomes more and more implicated in unhappiness. In household life, there is nothing favorable for perpetual happiness. Being implicated in home life, the conditioned soul is buried by the fire of lamentation. Sometimes he condemns himself as being very unfortunate, and sometimes he claims that he suffers because he performed no pious activities in his previous life. So this verse is really eye-opening, and also opens up a lot of space to be critical and to be very, in one way, negative, because family life is compared to blazing forest fire, and family life is all around. That's normal. So we will rather take the positive approach to this verse and see what is what is actually all about. Sometimes we heard classes on verses like this, so we got just a small frame, a small picture, not the whole picture. And I remember once in Mayapur there was one section of Bhagavatam in which there was described some very similar subject, family life. So one speaker was sannyasi. He was very straightforward, giving us one aspect of family life and trying to inspire devotees to not go through that. And then the other day, another devotee would come and he would speak completely the opposite. Prabhupada was grihastha, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was grihastha. So we heard classes for the whole week like that. This. But actually, we should see things, we should see the whole picture of any subject. And we should see what is actually a blazing fire. Is it really a family life or something else? So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is quoting first verse from Guru Ashtaka, Samsara Dhavana Lida Loka, Trana Karuna Gana Ganatvam. So this material existence is compared to blazing fire in a forest. That means if you are in a forest and there is a fire all around you, how can you enjoy? You cannot. You can try, but it is called samsara sukh. Samsara sukh is cheap happiness. And to really enjoy in that circumstances, you have to be really under a strong illusion. That's the only condition. You have to be really moha, completely, or mada, completely mad, to enjoy like that. And those who are aware of that situation, they are looking actually for relief. And when on one hand you have a fire, immediately relief means water. So, gana ganatvam, spiritual master is compared to a cloud. And cloud is full of water. And this water comes from the ocean. So similarly, the spiritual master is full of water or blessings to bestow upon us if we are willing to accept, because he is connected to the ocean. He is taking the benediction from the ocean of mercy, and therefore he can give us some relief from the material world. But first of all, we have to really understand that situation in which we are now, that means material existence, is not really pleasing. So this samsara sukh should be given up. That's the point. It's not about a family life. It's about samsara sukh. So, like in Bhagavad Gita, yehi samparsha jhaboga dukkha yona evate adyantavanta kunteya nateshu ramate buddha. Wise person cannot enjoy in something which is just temporary. No, it's he understands that those happiness has a beginning and end, so he doesn't bother. He knows it's dukkha yona. It's just a source of misery. So it's the same. Samsara sukh, it's equal to dukh. No difference. So material happiness is actually unhappiness, is distress. And only a spiritual person or Vaishnava can see things like that, can see things as they are. And we see in Chaitanya Charitamrita so many instructions given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to deal with material nature and how to behave in the forest. At the same time, there is a blazing fire in the forest and we are there and we have to do something. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us very carefully. By teaching his associates. So we have, we can see, I remember when I was reading for the first time Chaitanya Charitamrita, one thing that I noticed is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is surrounded by companions who are, most of them are grihasthas, they are not very learned like some famous pandits, they are not famous because they are very renounced, but they were all great Vaishnavas. And we see that he is giving instructions to all of his disciples in a little bit confusing way. There is one section in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he is instructing different devotees, like 10 of them. And each one of them is instructed in completely different way. So one of his disciples was Mukunda. Mukunda was living like an ordinary person. He was physician in a royal kingdom, and he was associating with the king. Every day he was giving some medical treatment to the king. And one day Mukunda was conversing with the king, advising him. At that moment, one servant of the king came with a peacock feathered fan. He wanted to create some shade for the king. And as soon as Mukunda saw that peacock feather, he immediately fainted. He fell down from the, it is explained, it's a significant point, from the high platform. They were sitting on some high platform. And he fainted from the high platform. So Sahaja will never faint from the high platform. They can faint on the floor, but not from the high platform. So he fainted. And it was so high that the king was thinking, oh my God, he must be dead. It's so high, he's dead. So they went to Mukunda, who was just overwhelmed by spiritual emotions, by seeing peacock feather, remembering Lord Krishna. So they went to see if he's really still alive. And Mukunda came back to consciousness. And the king immediately asked, "Do you feel any pain?" He said, "No, no, not at all." "So what happened?" And Mukunda, another significant point, said, "I have a disease, epilepsy. So sometimes I faint." So he's not saying, "Oh yes, I'm a great devotee and you know, it happens sometimes." No, he said, "It's just my disease." And the king immediately understood, "Oh, he must be a great person. He's lying to me. I know what is actually the reason." And Mukunda was a good example of a family devotee, one who is living in a family life, living in, so to say, regular life, but he was extraordinary devotee. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave one instruction to Mukunda. it's a strange instruction, and it's only for Mukunda, but we have to extract the principle. He said, "Tomara karya," like your duty, "is dharma dana uparjan." Your duty is to earn both spiritual and material wealth. So one can say, why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing someone to earn material wealth? But we see who is the son of Mukunda. His son is named Raghunandan. And Raghunandan was extremely renounced. He was living in a temple and he was engaged 24 hours in the service of a deity. And all the facilities were provided by Mukunda, his father. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Mukunda, "Who is father and who is son?" And Mukunda said, "Raghunandan is my father and I am his son. This is my conclusion." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased because Mukunda was qualified to earn material wealth because he was assisting Raghunandan. But at the same time, he was not thinking, "I'm a father and this son is great Vaishnava because I'm his father and I'm providing facilities for his devotional service." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to hear that Mukunda was taking the position of junior. That's the symptom of senior Vaishnava. Senior Vaishnava is always taking the position of junior Vaishnava. He's not coming and saying, "Hey, I'm a senior, offer obeisances." No, that's not the symptom of, that's symptom of neophyte devotee. And we can see that there are many examples like Mukunda. For example, Pundarika Vidyanidhi is a famous example. Someone who is looking like really materialistic person. I remember one small detail. He has a sofa on which on the both sides there are mirrors. So he was looking sometimes how he looks. Some, there are many details how he was behaving and looking. But actually he was a great devotee. And Gadadhar, he was very doubtful when he saw Pundarika Vidyanidhi. But as soon as Pundarika Vidyanidhi heard the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that is explaining the mercy of Lord Krishna upon Putana, he immediately went in some state of bhava, spiritual emotions, and Gadadhar recognized, "Oh, he's really a great soul, although he looks like an ordinary person." And another devotee who is in family life, but who is also very special, is Vasudev Datta. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once gave instruction to Sivananda Sen. There is one famous instruction. He said you should take care of all devotees from Bengal and you should travel with them to visit me in Jagannath Puri every year. So he was organizing this journey for all the devotees. And the second instruction to Shivananda Sen was, you should take care of Vasudevdatta, because he's in family life, but he's completely mad. He's really bad manager. Whatever earnings he gets, he spends to serve others. So you should take care that he's not spending too much. Can you imagine that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, you're spending too much for others. You should save something for yourself. So Vasudevdatta was like that. And the question is really not where is our position. The question is where is our shelter. So it's not a question of varna, it's not a question of ashram. It's just a question of consciousness. So if one is taking shelter in Krishna, he is safe. But if one is not taking shelter in Krishna, he may be sannyasi, but he is also in a blazing fire of forest. It's the same thing. So it's not a question of family life or not family life. It's just a question of Krishna consciousness. Are we conscious of Krishna? And in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is nice story how Krishna was dealing with the blazing fire forest. So cowherd boys, they were taking care of the cows, and suddenly the fire came. And it was a cane forest, so you can imagine. And the cows went on one side, cowherd boys on another side, and then cowherd boys went to take cows, and somehow they were stuck. And all around there was a fire. And they became afraid. So what they did? They said, "Oh Krishna, you are our friend, and you can only protect us. We are completely surrendered unto you." So as soon as cowherd boys surrendered, Krishna said, "Oh, no problem. You just close your eyes and I will take care of everything." So the fire is coming and Krishna was standing in between cowherd boys and cows and fire. So on one side there is a there is a blazing fire of forest, and on the other side we are standing. So if in between there is a Krishna, there's no problem. So for devotees, there's no problem because Krishna is there. But still, if we are not taking shelter of Krishna, that means even if we are devotee, but we are not trained to take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna will do nothing. But as soon as we ask for his help, he helps. So what he did, he just swallowed the forest fire, just like this, maybe like this. It was just 1 second. It's amazing, because forest fire means no exit. And Krishna did that, and not that he just saved cowherd boys from the blazing fire of material, of forest, but immediately he went back to Vrindavan, and they met gopis at the next moment. And Srila Prabhupada explains that the gopis were experiencing also blazing fire of separation from Krishna. So Krishna was giving relief by appearing before the gopis. And that's the blazing fire which devotee experiences. That means separation from Krishna. If we are not able to feel separated from Krishna, then we will enjoy samsara sukha, And before experiencing separation, we have to develop some attachment. So therefore, we are practicing devotional service. We desire to develop some attachment for Krishna. And the separation that we can feel from Krishna in advantage stages are actually greatest happiness. They are not real distress. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also is teaching us by his behavior with one brahmana. You know that he was chanting in a house of Shiva's Thakur every night. And many famous brahmanas, learned persons try to enter and enjoy kirtan, but it was not possible for everyone. So one brahmana, he was very proud, and he thought, I'm very qualified to go there in Shiva Sangam and see what is going on there. Let me take part in these kirtans. So as soon as he arrived at the door, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you cannot come in. Go away. He said, I'm a brahmana, I'm qualified. He said, no, just go. Jao. So it's funny, because next day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was swimming in the Ganges, and this brahmana saw him. He was very, very angry. And he was thinking, yes, I should curse this proud Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he came up and he was preparing to recite the curse. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was blissfully just standing in front of him. And this brahmana said in a very, very angry, serious mood, Samsara suk tomarahuk vinash. So he said, I curse you that you will not experience any happiness in this material world. And what was the reaction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he heard Samsara suk vinash will disappear? He exhibited ulas, which means great jubilation. He was jumping. He was completely blissful to hear, oh, I will not experience any samsara suk. Wow, Haribol. He was very happy, and this brahmana was very confused. And this is something that we can learn from Chaitanya Charitamrita. With so many devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us that we should give up the samsara suk and just take shelter in Krishna. And that's what is really important. If you are living in a Radhadesh and your shelter is in Vrindavan, that's very nice. But if you are living in Vrindavan and your shelter is somewhere in material world, there's no use of being in Vrindavan. We know that Prabhupada was always saying, I'm always in Vrindavan. I'm always residing there. So there is another situation from which we can learn a lot. Raghunath Goswami, at that time Raghunath Das, he was living with his parents. He was 16 years old. And on one occasion he went to Shantipur to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he stayed there for 7 days. And it was a really nice experience for him. And as soon as he returned home, he became mad. He was completely mad. And of course, his parents, they were thinking, what's wrong with our son? He met this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and now he's completely mad. He's crazy. He cannot do anything. He doesn't want to do anything. He you will become useless. So Raghunath Das was always thinking, or he was meditating upon the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was just making the plans in his mind. How should I meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again? I have to go and find him. At that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was residing in Jagannath Puri, and Raghunath was trying to escape. So his father, who was very wealthy, he arranged 11 people to take care of Raghunath. Pancha, Paika, Chari, Sevika, Dui, Brahmana. So 5 watchmen, 4 servants. Servants means taking care of everything. So if you have 4 servants, you should be happy. They will take care of everything. So you will not think about leaving your present situation. And most important, Dui Brahmana. 2 Brahmanas were there. And what they did? They cooked. Brahmanas are cooking, offering to the deities. And they cooked really nice prasadam for Raghunath, so that he will he will stay. So 11 people were surrounding Raghunath, but still he was always thinking, I have to escape. It's just a matter of question. If you have this question, I have to escape from this material world. We are not surrounded by 11 people. We are surrounded by many people that we are attached to. And very soon, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again came to Shantipur, and then Raghunath approached his father and he said, oh my father, please let me go. I have to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, I will not be able to maintain my life. So father said, okay, you should go. But those 11 will go with you, and they will watch you. Don't try to do anything. You have no chance. So Raghunath was anyway happy. He was thinking, just let me go. I will come up with something. Something will come across my mind and I will maybe run away. So he went to Shantipur and he was associating again with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 7 days. And all the time he was thinking, I have to find the way out. I have to run away. I have to escape. What should I do? How to do that? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Sarvagya Goranga Prabhu, he knows everything because he is Janna Tandraman. He is inside of your mind. He knows everything. So he knew, oh, this Raghunath is trying to escape, and that's not good. So finally, on the 7th day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did something which is called Ashvasavachan. Ashvasavachan means reassuring words, reassuring talk. So he went to discourage Raghunath from escaping, escaping the family life. And he said, Stira Hana Gare Jao. Be patient, Stira. Gare Jao. Go home. So Raghunath was, what is this? He's telling me to go home. Now, Vatula, don't be a crazy fellow. You should go home. Krame Krame, step by step. You should attain Krishna, not just like that. What is this? Imagine he is telling that to Raghunath Das Goswami, who is like a symbol of renunciation. He's telling Krame Krame. Pao Bhava Sindhu Kul. Gradually you will reach the other shore of material existence. You will cross the ocean of material existence and you will reach the shore. Just do step by step and go home, Gare Jao. So Raghunath was confused. He was not very happy to hear that. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Markata Vairagya Nakara. Don't try to become a Markata Vairagi. Go home. Markata Vairagi is a so-called renunciant. It's like a monkey. Monkey is completely naked, sleeping on the tree, and not just on the one tree, but every day he is going to another tree. So he's very, very renounced. He's naked. But actually, monkey is always engaged in sex life. So that's not good. So don't become a so-called renunciant. Become sincere. And he said, Markate vairagyana kara loka dekana. Why one wants to become Markata Vairagi? It's just a matter of getting some recognition, Lokata Dekana, so that people can see I'm advanced. And that's the greatest obstacle in devotional service, when we want others to think that we are advanced and we are actually not. So that's really a great obstacle. So one should not remain false renunciant, but one should really try to do something which is called anasaktasya. Yata yoga vishaya bhunja anasaktyahan. One should try to behave like an ordinary person. Don't try to make a show. Just be a regular devotee. But inside of you, you should become extraordinary devotee. That's the thing. What we are doing inside, we are very regular, not devotee. We are very regular materialistic person, cultivating material desires. But externally we are extraordinary devotee. That's tendency. So we should give it up. Because falgu or false renunciation will be discovered. You know Falgu River. In India there is a Falgu River. So if you go to see Falgu River, you will see nothing. You just see some earth. But as soon as you just scratch a little bit on the surface, the water is coming. So similarly, if you are trying to become a Falgu Vairagi, as soon as someone is scratching on your heart, different animals in the form of material desires are coming out. So one should try to do sincere service with detachment. Like we know that Cupid is Manmata. Manmata means like Mathura. Mathura, Mata. Everyone is churning the butter. So Mathura means the city of churning. And Cupid is Manmata. He is churning the mind. How can you focus the mind on Krishna if your mind is churned? So we have to be careful. And what we are doing to avoid, let's say, the arrow of Cupid, we are exhibiting the angry mood. We are angry. No. And we know that Shiva is called Kameshwara Mahadev because he conquered the Cupid. But actually, Cupid knows, no, he is defeated because he became angry. So this is like the same thing, this anger. So one should rather become normal person, that's the thing, just normal person. But inside, one should become mad after Krishna. So therefore, we know that Rupa Goswami is instructing anasaktasya vishayanya tarta upayunjataha nirbanda krishna sambande yukta vairagya uchate. That yukta vairagya should be there. Not falgu, not markata vairagya, but yukta vairagya. That means, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Raghunath Das Goswami, antare nishtakare. Inside of you, you should cultivate Krishna consciousness, nishtakara. Inside, not outside, inside. And that's the significant point. And then Achirat Krishna, Bahe Loka Vyavahar. Bahe means Bahu, externally. Loka, it means like just ordinary person. Vyavahar, you should behave like an ordinary person, but inside of you, you should cultivate Krishna consciousness. And not the opposite. So I will read one quote from Srila Prabhupada's purport. He's revealing the secret. If some of you wants really to make advancement in Krishna consciousness, you should take this tip very seriously. It is from Madhya Lila, 16th chapter, verse number 241. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended that Raghunath Das keep his Krishna consciousness firmly fixed in his heart while externally behaving like an ordinary man. This is a trick for everyone advanced in Krishna consciousness. So this is a trick. The trick, what is the trick? Can someone say what is the trick? And? Okay. So ordinary in outside world, but extraordinary inside. Not the opposite. We are doing that, so we have to repeat a few times. We are doing that. We are trying to become extraordinary. But inside we are very, very ordinary. So the nice analogy is given. We know bamboo sticks. They appear to be very, very hard. You cannot, when you see bamboo stick, it looks like, wow, it's something very firm, very, very hard. But actually, bamboo is empty. There's nothing inside. But bamboo is just appearing to be very, very strong. But on the other hand, sandal appears to be very soft. And sandal is very fragrant. But sandal is not as soft as it looks. So bamboo and sandal, they are quite opposite. So in a forest, if, let's say like this, in the forest, if bamboo is coming, if bamboo is there in the forest, all other trees and plants are afraid. They are thinking, oh no, bamboo is here. He appears to be very, very strong, but he is not. We know, as soon as fire is there, bamboo will spread that fire all around. Bamboo will be the first to burn out. So it's like that. Those who are trying to be extraordinary in appearance and trying to make a show, to give an impression that they are very strong, usually they are first to be burned out. But they know in the forest, if sandal is there, oh, everyone is happy. Why? Sandal has a nice fragrance. And all other trees will also become fragrant. The whole forest will smell like a sandal. Just if you have few sandal trees in the forest. And if forest is in, and if fire is there, sandal will not burn just like that. So the only plant or tree that cannot get the fragrance from the sandal is bamboo. It's so unfortunate. You can keep together bamboo and sandal. And bamboo will always be bamboo. Empty, no fragrance, nothing. Burning like anything. But appears very strong. In sandal, quite opposite. So devotee should be like a sandal. When we come to community, everyone should think, oh, here is a sandal devotee. Very nice. And he's now with us, and we will also get some fragrance of his bath. But if we are like bamboo, everyone will think, oh no, here is bamboo. It's immediately a danger for the community. Something can happen. So we should become a sandal, sandal-like devotee. But even if we consider ourselves to be a bamboo, completely useless, oh, I'm a bamboo. If you think like that, no problem. Krishna will find way to utilize our bamboo-like nature. So he plays bamboo flute. What's the problem? But we should see ourselves as bamboo, and then others will see us as sandal. But if we think I'm a sandal, then everyone else will see us as bamboo. So we should be a sandal who thinks that he's bamboo. And I will finish with one final instruction, which can guide us how to really become extraordinary inside, how to develop this madness inside, and how to become normal, completely normal person, not angry, renunciant, normal. So Satyaraj Khan, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, Grihastha Vishayami. I'm Grihastha Vishayami. What should I do? Kemorasadhane. What should I do in spiritual practice? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said three things. Krishna Seva, Vaishnava Seva, so serve Krishna and serve devotees. And finally, Nirantara Kara, Krishna Nama Sankirtan. And always be engaged in chanting the holy name. Sometimes devotees are asking, I remember one challenging question, where in Chaitanya Charitamrita Hare Krishna Mahamantra is mentioned? So the answer is very easy, in many places, and even the whole Mahamantra. But once one devotee asked the same question, and the speaker said, oh, I don't know. Sometimes it said Krishna Nam or something like that, but never Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. But actually it is said. You can find in many places if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita carefully. So this instruction, Krishna Nam Sankirtan Nirantara Kara, you always should perform. And how can you do that? How can you do? You know this verse, Trinadapi Sunichina Tarariva Sahishuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always chanting. How can you do something always? You can do something always only if you really enjoy it. So if you enjoy chanting Hare Krishna, what's the problem? Then you can do it always. But the secret is Vaishnava Seva. If you serve Vaishnavas, then you will be able to enjoy chanting Hare Krishna. As soon as we start to criticize and behave in a bad manner, then we cannot really enjoy spiritual life. We feel, oh, this is like a desert. I cannot chant. I don't like to chant. Okay, I will chant something. So that's the secret of sandal devotee, who is always serving other Vaishnavas and considering others to be a sandal, considering himself to be a bamboo, and always taking care that his consciousness is fixed on Krishna. Yoga yukto vishuddhatma vijitatma jitendriya sarva bhutatma bhutatma kurvan apinalipyate. Even if he is acting in this material world, he is not entangled, because he is yoga yukto, always connected with Krishna. And sarva bhutatma bhutatma, he is nice with everyone. So at least we can start practicing being nice. If someone is saying Hare Krishna to us, we should say Hare Krishna. That's very simple. That's very simple. But in the West, it's very difficult to say Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, good morning, anything like that. It's very difficult. So we should start with small things, by saying Hare Krishna to others, good morning, good evening, and do some service, and we will develop some taste, and we will be able to fix our consciousness on Krishna. And even if we are in the blazing forest fire of family life or sannyas life, whatever, Krishna will swallow that fire and we will be saved. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. So, questions and probably the answers. I was thinking a lot about that because we know that advanced devotee is humble. So if one is humble, does he know that he is humble? What's going on in his head? What he is perceiving? Does he think I'm humble? And the answer is definitely no. He's not thinking that he's humble. He's not thinking that he's advanced. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know. That's, if you know that you're advanced, then you're not. That's that simple. So that's one side of a picture. But on the other hand, we have to be really aware that something is happening. If I'm practicing Krishna consciousness for some years, and I just think I'm not advancing, I'm just, then maybe we'll just give up the process of thinking of what's the use. So the safe position for ourselves is to see that we are advancing by seeing ourselves as a bamboo devotee and seeing others as more advanced. And that's kind of estimation that we can make. Okay, I see others, I appreciate others more and more. That's a good thing. That means that I'm making some progress. Because you know that Kanishta devotee, Kanishta Adhikari, he does not appreciate others so much. He thinks, me and Krishna, what's the value of others? But Madhya Madhikari, he considers others, and he's really, in his behavior, he's serving others. So if we see that we appreciate other devotees, then that's a good sign that we are advancing. That's one estimation that we can have. Yeah. It's again a question of consciousness, because if we really want to serve others, then we have to discriminate. For example, I remember when I was serving prasadam as a very, very young devotee, I was serving everyone equally. And then one devotee, senior devotee who was taking care of me, he said, "That's a nice service that you do, but you can enhance your service by discrimination." I said, "What?" He said, "You should see this devotee, what does he like? So you should serve more subject to him, not so much sweets. To this devotee you should serve a lot of sweets." And like that. So usually, if the consciousness is to serve others, discrimination is very good. But if our mood is to not serve, then what's the use of this discrimination? If you are Madhya Madhikari, he is discriminating because he wants to serve others. And if he cannot serve someone, for example, envious person, you cannot serve snake, then he's not trying to do that. So that's... Yeah, it's a valid point. Yeah, it's actually there are many points that we can go, because we are limited by time. So then we have to make just like one focused point, and then on the side remains a lot of things that are not maybe solved properly, dealt with properly. Thank you. Thank you for a good question. It's a question which opens up a whole new discussion. So we will not go too much into that, because it's another class and we have to perform ordinary services. But basically the point was, even if you analyze the life of Raghunath Goswami, he said, Achirat Krishna Tomai Karibe Udar. You try to be an ordinary person and Krishna will guide you. So he was guided in such a way that he was not, we cannot say that Raghunath Goswami was an ordinary person. But his intention was to please Krishna, to think about Krishna. His intention was not to make a show. And as soon as you try to do that, of course, you will not appear as an ordinary person, never. You can always recognize devotee. But the point is that your intention is not to make a show, but rather to be Krishna conscious. But the question is, I know it really will take a much broad explanation. So, yeah, Jamashi Prabhu, you can. Yeah. That's like, you know, there was a Thank you for your attention. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.